you know, Randy's retirement's coming up, and so it's on our minds all the time, and how to leave well and all those things. And I was thinking yesterday about the movie Mr. Chips. Did y'all ever see the old movie?
Yes.
You know, and everybody wants to end like Mr. Chips, you know, and he, and you sort of do in the sense that the faces come to mind. You know, the very last scene of the movie, if you haven't seen it, he's a professor who was kind of a fuddy-dud, stickler, but loved the boys, never was able to have children, his wife was killed. It was just kind of a wonderful love story, tragedy, lovely teacher story. And at the end, all the boys come through his mind. You know, Mr. Such and Such, Mr. Master Such and Such, you know, the faces one after another. And I'll cry if I start talking about it. But that's what my life is like. And having taught this for so long, I mean, literally, y'all, there are thousands, you know, maybe a couple of thousand through the period of time where we've had impact in terms of each other loving each other. I'm not speaking of me teaching, but just seeing the love among the people. It is just, this is church in the sense of God in our midst, where two or three are gathered. I don't mean in a professional sense, but in the, to be in competition with church, but I just mean it's more church. Let's call it that. It's more church, okay? On steroids, maybe a little bit. Because you can, or well, hormones, where you can, where we can listen to each other and pray for each other and understand each other. It's such a delight. So glad. When I prayed about a devotion for this morning, first I went back to the end because I kind of had to hurry through the end of Luke last week. I'm not going to revisit it except that he is risen. And we had the stories of the road to Emmaus, the two men, and then the Lord appearing to them in the upper room. And I had, I think, referenced Mark where he rebukes them for not believing the women who had come to tell him. Who were actually quoting scripture is what Mark says. So he was more upset that they weren't believing what scripture taught and the rejected the messenger. But it's really this heart, slowness of heart to believe scripture. And that was kind of our takeaway last week, to not be slow of heart, to believe what the Word of God says as coming from God and walking into it. So this morning I want to read parts of John, of Jesus' priestly prayer. And the reason I want to focus on this is that this was the Lord's emphasis at the end of his life, what he desired for us and, into our lives in this world and in the world to come. John is more the gospel that really speaks about eternal life all the time and life abundant and what this is like. So I'm jumping around in John 17. If you have your Bibles and want to open there, it'd be good. I'm beginning with verse 1, let me pray. Lord God, we praise you for your faithfulness to us, each and every one who are here and those that are with us during the year who aren't here this morning. And we thank you that we are sisters through your body, in your body, and through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would be glorified in our midst, even when we're apart. And even as we go into our families and other friendships, this church and other churches, that we would shine and be a warm fire for those who come looking for you, fellowshipping, teaching in the way that we live. So we pray you would glorify your name again this morning in this word. Amen.
Which chapter did you say?
17, John 17. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, eternal life is composed of, made up of, knowledge of God. It is an ongoing, the eternal life that we've been granted and will go into eternity is one of constantly learning about him. and being in his presence. And we'll end with that in a minute, too. But what a wonderful definition, to know the Father and the Son. This is the definition of this life. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So we know from Philippians that he laid all that aside, came in the form of a servant. Now as he has ascended, he has been given back that glory that he laid aside and more glory because we are his crown. He has accomplished this to bring many sons to glory and has brought about the kingdom of God in its entirety is done through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. So our knowledge of Jesus is this constant affirmation that he's of God. This is the Father's heart. As Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So this, when we wonder, well, why does God do this? Or where was he when this happened? Go look at Jesus again. Because wherever Jesus met the conflict, met demons, met unbelief, met disease, he accomplished what the Father's heart was. So our confidence in prayer, our confidence in coming to him in times of need with this knocking, which was the theme of the morning, is that he answers because this is the Father's will. Jesus has been expressing it all along. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Hebrews tells us even now Jesus is interceding for us before the Father. He is praying for us, particularly us, because we are still in the world. We are still in this battle, generation after generation. Our lifetime is just a second in eternity. I mean, he's over all of it. To us, it seems like how long, year after year. But to him, it is all present. And he is praying and interceding for us. So not only can we go to him trusting that he is for certain sure the Son of God and his words are true, but we go to him knowing that he prays for us and that our prayers are heard. Our prayers are heard. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. The message that we have of forgiveness has with it when you say forgiveness, it means that sin has been present. So when we come bringing a message of forgiveness, it can produce guilt in those who do not want to admit that there's a problem. So that holier-than-thou thing, all of that, we are resisted almost in our presence of entering into a conversation. We've all had this situation where you're in a group and somebody begins to cuss, and then they realize you're in the group. They say, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And you never said anything about cussing. They just know. Because there was some light in the group you didn't even know was coming out, and what they were doing was exposed. That's Jesus in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Some will love us for it, and some will not. Some of you have had resistance, even in your own homes, and some from friends or in-laws or children. And so this is a place we keep coming in and saying, Lord, these are the ones you gave to us that we don't want to lose one of. Help us be a good witness and be certain and our dependence on you and interceding for them as you intercede for us. We have a job to do with those that we are influencing, and he has put us in that circle of. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. This is the protection prayer. And I've sometimes said, you know, you don't see many protection prayers in Scripture. Jesus prayed one. And it was not about the influence of evil. It was about the evil one. That we really do have an adversary who seeks to devour and destroy. The world, the flesh, and the devil are always with us here. And he's praying for us to be protected from the delusion and the deception that the evil one brings. It can look good. He is masked as an angel of light. We need the prayers of Jesus to stay upright before him and have clarity as to what is true and what is not true. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. Now, this was the verse I really felt we needed to hear. Because Jesus sanctified himself, we are sanctified. What does sanctify mean? It is a step. I think I put a definition here. It didn't work. Rats. But what it means is being set apart for God's purposes. It means really holy in his presence, holy with the W, wholly yielded to him and a place of his presence. At the end of Scripture in Revelation, there is no sanctuary in heaven. Here we have places of sanctuary where you will run for safety to be in the presence of the Lord. For us, that is in the body of Christ. We run to each other to be in sanctuary together and to be sanctified, set apart. We are strengthened in that. In heaven, there is no sanctuary. Why? Because we're in his constant presence. The light of the Lamb, there is no need of sunlight. We will live in holy presence constantly. But here in this world, as Jesus has prayed for us, seeking the sanctuary and being sanctified is part of our work. What we've spoken of praying like this, going into your own spot with him in secret to pray, this is important. But it's also important to pray together, to pray for each other, to be constant in it when God brings somebody to your mind, to yield, to care. I mean, I'm constantly reminded at this stage in life, more and more, that to love is to suffer. If you love, it means you're going to take on a whole lot of other stuff. You're going to care about other people and what they're going through, and you're going to think about them and what can be done about this. And part of you, if you're like me, will be kind of like, Lord, I don't want to think about it today. I want to give them over to you. And you can, but, you know, he gives them right back. He really does. I mean, you think, okay, I'm done. I'm going to be healthy and whole and no more. Yeah, right. Okay, no, we're not. And he didn't make us to be that way. He made us to not forget that wonderful verse from Lamentations where he says, I'm not like a nursing mother. Some nursing mothers may nurse and forget, but I never forget. And I have graven you on the palms of my hands. So when we enter into the love of God and being sanctified, set apart for him, it's for love's sake. It's for love. Preaching not just to people, even animals. I'm thinking of you, Brenda. He says, go preach to all creation. Okay. the way we treat things that God made, the way we treat people that God made, and particularly the family of God that he made. Because his purpose in the family of God really is the glory of the Son. Our unity and love together proves to the world that he exists and he is. That love is contagious. It makes people desire that. I went to have coffee this week with two old friends that are dear friends, and we went to a little coffee shop and went in, and two of us greeted each other. I could see the guy behind the counter out of the corner of my eye. He was kind of astounded. We were just all over each other. Oh, you know, like women do. But, you know, really. And he was like, did you want coffee? I mean, we're, you know, but that the coffee was secondary to the fact that this is where our fire gets lit. You know, and y'all, it's apparent because you look around the restaurant, there's so many dead faces. There really are. You can tell when you're in public. Lonely, depressed, no fire. So this is where, again, when we love, we care, and we get pulled in spite of ourselves. And because he is drawing us to love and love well. My prayer is not for them alone, verse 20. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. That was us. We came to faith through the word of God that these men lived out in response to Jesus. They wrote his words down and they lived it out. How this took hold, the kingdom of God in this world, from one young man who was crucified is beyond understanding. It is nothing normal or explainable about it. It is divine. And it has happened through the work of his Holy Spirit through his people, and the basis of which is faith. That he exists, he's the creator, he exists, and he answers everyone who seeks him with their whole heart. He rewards those who seek him. As we do that as the body of Christ, others automatically come along and join the throng. It isn't a movement that we have to start. The movement was started a long time ago. We have just come along in the merry throng. And so our part in this is with decision. Our will is extremely important. It, going back to even Jesus rebuking the disciples when they didn't believe the women or Mary, was that they didn't exercise their will in belief. You couldn't be rebuked if will were not a piece of it. We cannot say, well, God does all the work. I just let go and let God. That's not in there. It's that we choose, and we choose again, and we choose again. And you say, Lord, where am I off? You're not believing. You've begun to think you can fix it. Instead of that, I alone am the solution. Worship me. Give thanks in all situations. Reach out. Go beyond what's comfortable for you. I am there. So we have a different call and decision-making that we are constantly responsible for. This is why crowns will be given, which we will throw at his feet. But they're given because we choose, and he wants us to choose over and over again to follow with the whole heart. This will be different for each of us. Aging is different. My sister wrote on Facebook a couple weeks ago, you know, when babies are little, you say, oh, it's so great. They're walking. They're walking early, 10 months. Oh, they're riding a bike now. Oh, we've got teeth. Tooth fairies coming tonight. And then when you're aging, it's like, well, I'm getting those knees replaced. I need a hearing aid now. My glasses, I need an appointment every 6 months. Okay. And we're losing it. Just as children are gaining it. And it's a challenge. It's really a challenge. Because what the scriptures say, while your outer man is decaying away, your inner man is being renewed day by day, conformed to the image of Christ. It is still a battle. It doesn't matter that your outer is decaying away. He knew all along that would happen. You're some of the lucky ones, y'all. A lot of people didn't get to be old. So this is a new place of battle, of thinking that, oh, I have nothing left to give. What can I possibly do? Seek the Lord in this, because you have a lot of work left to do if you're here. And with age comes experience and wisdom, a lot of it from our mistakes. Be humble. Share the mistakes. Seriously. Oh, I wish I had done this differently. Oh, don't make the mistake I made in that. Try this. And some of us are scared thinking, well, how could we ever mentor younger women when we didn't do it right? They need to learn from your mistakes and from the love that you have for God and saying it's all going to be okay. God worked that together too. Even my mistakes. This happened later. And these were my joys. These were the things that were answered prayer. He's not looking for perfection. A perfect Christian family all gleaming up there. This is my fear about the retirement party with all my children sitting there. Okay. You know, once more on display, and they're precious. I love every one of them. But we're a family of sinners. You know, don't look to other people to be perfect. They're not. None of us are. What we are lovers. Forgivers and lovers. This is our message and what we have. And with aging, it's even richer because we've made so many mistakes, okay? God's had to put so many things together. You have great worth, great value in your message. And you young chicky babes do too. You refresh us, and we want to see more young women have. I'm really praying about it. I had a coffee a couple weeks ago with Kelly Pettigrew, who came and spoke and invited us to the brunch, and they really want the older women to help mentor the younger women. And this is a Bible church thing for those of you that don't go to our church. But I hope, you know, in the early days, I was just saying to one of the younger sisters today, when Discovery started, we were all young. And we wanted the older women to come. So Pat Jakeaway had a big luncheon at her beautiful home and invited all the older women. And we went in there and gave a big spiel about them coming. Praise God they came. And they helped with the children, and they helped in small group leadership, and it really was the making of Discovery, honestly. I think we'd have frittered out if it just stayed the young women. Because there's you're in and out of different things with your kids. There's stability in age that the younger women really do need us. And so this is something to pray about, look at your announcements as they come up, what you can participate in. And invite them to come here. You know, because I love the form of this, the Word of God, and then discussion, where the fellowship really does get worked out and what people think and live out. If you cannot articulate back, it doesn't stay with you in the same way. So it's not about who's the teacher. I think this way of give the Word and respond to the Word in the power of the Holy Spirit is a great way to worship and learn. And it's standard in Scripture, and I'm really thankful that we've used it here. Anyway, I really digressed. Okay. I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So he's calling not to duty. What's he calling to? Unity in him. We do have things we work at unity with one another, and it reflects his glory. It's important work. But this goes back to that place of going to the Father in secret as well. Dwelling, abiding in the vine. Abiding in God. And out of that flows his life, and the fruit comes. That is an act of the will. To say, I will abide in you today. This is my desire. May it be. Amen. May this be. And then let him direct and do. And he will in so many ways. He does with all of us. Every day is important. Every day. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. That we are loved as Jesus is by the Father. Listen to. Our prayers are heard. He is interested. He does not squash us when we are bruised. He ministers. He leads us back to himself. He corrects us. He directs with a loving hand. He speaks behind us, leads before, is beneath and above. We are contained in the heart of God. Out of that place comes our fellowship and our walking. I mean, what a gift this is, that it wasn't just a list, do this and do that, you all. Jesus didn't speak that way. He didn't use the contemporary words we use. He used these words, which are about belonging and unity. This is eternal. There are no other words to say this any better. Yes, we're on mission or remissional. Missional is one of my pet peeves because it's not in the dictionary. I keep trying to think of other words you could add A-L to make the point. But is that point need to be made? No. What it's saying is that we are alive to God and where he is leading us as a body in all of the body of Christ, in each little body of Christ that we belong to and are committed to. And we are together about glorifying him. If there is a mission, it's to glorify God and be in his presence. And then the other things come out of that. Healing, prayer, evangelism, teaching. All of these things come out of the abiding life in him. The heart of the gospel, that word is used a lot too, meaning good news. The heart of gospel is that we are called into unity and oneness with God. It's not sin-directed or even forgiveness-directed. It's relationship-directed, that we have been restored and brought in to him in family, stronger than marriage, stronger than any other relationship you can think of as our relationship in God the Father in Christ, and Christ in us, and us in him. You can't make a drawing that shows that of even, you know, whirlwinds of the Holy Spirit. Father, I want those. I love this prayer. This is verse 24. He's praying the whole time, but this is the only verse I can find where Jesus puts a personal desire in the prayer. I want. What does he want? Those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. His personal desire in facing death and resurrection was that we would see him as he really is. Do you think that's going to happen? Oh, yeah. Who is the Father not going to answer this prayer of Jesus's? No way. He's not going to answer this. Based on the fact that it's Jesus asking, who has accomplished our salvation, and the Father listening, you can be sure, I can be sure, that we are going to see him face to face and be astounded, forever astounded. This is what we rest on. This is the verse you were saying, we believe what God gave us. Blessed are we who believe what God promised will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. So our aging, our problems, our weight, our knees, all of it, it's temporary. It's so temporary. And this is so final and so true, that we will see him and be like him as we see him. James writes, it purifies us to look forward, that we don't know yet what we'll look like, but when we see him, we'll know we'll be just like him. No mirrors in heaven, praise God. Just love in each other's eyes and praise for him. What a glorious day, truly like childhood again. You all, children don't go look in mirrors all the time. Hold their stomachs in to look good for the picture. That's not children. They usually got their ear, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, real, alive, totally present and received with joy into his presence, seeing him as he truly is. Jesus prayed for this personally. This is a great promise prayer. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the continuing work of Jesus along with intercession. He'll continue to make the Father known in order that the love the Father has for Jesus will be in us and that Jesus will be in us. Again, act of the will is involved here, of submission to Him, coming close to Him, abiding in Him, and choosing to do so over and over again. This is an act of the will. There's that definition. Sanctification involves more than a mere moral reformation of character brought about by the power of the truth. It is the work of the Holy Spirit bringing the whole nature more and more under the influences of the new gracious principles implanted in the soul in regeneration. Once we were born again into Christ, the Holy Spirit is working on us like a piano on keys, fingers on us, moving us, not only character, but in unity and deep understanding of God Himself. Sanctification is the work of God. Where does will fit in with that? There is a place of saying, Lord, I want to be holy in your presence. This yielding to abide is to say, I want your life to flow through me in holiness. Not holier than thou, but in reality of the presence of God in us. You'll remember from when we did 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Dallas Willard's triangle of things, if I can remember them, okay, of holy life. The walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. Thanks in all things. The bottom was planning not to sin. That our will is involved with saying, okay, this makes me stumble, Lord. I am planning, this is my game plan to avoid this area. This is very taught in Scripture. If you see your right hand sinning, cut it off. This is what he's talking about. If you have a weak spot, don't admit it to him. Be aware of it. Yield it to him. Walk so that you are submitting to this sanctified process. This, too, is an act of the will. Perfect sanctification is not possible in this life. That will happen when we see him. But our being yielded to him will produce much fruit in this life, whether we see it or not. Fruit's never for us to eat. You can't be a plant and yield fruit and eat it, can you? No, it's for other people. So you just abide and bear fruit. You let the rest, let him figure out the rest of it. Romans 6:13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. To offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. We are brought from death to life constantly. For God who said, this is 2 Corinthians 4:6, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What a beautiful passage this is. That light, the light from within that shines, illuminates his face to us. This is a holy, supernatural thing when we have been born again and are being shaped in our nature towards God, recognizing him. And we have put on the new self, Colossians 3:10, which is being renewed over and over in knowledge, the image of the Creator. So more and more do we look like we are made the image of God as we exercise our own adherence to him. He's not looking at sin and how many of them we're doing. He's looking at the heart. Over and over we saw this in Luke, of the way he treated the self-righteous and the way he treated the sinners who were hungry and looking. He has an ear to those who know what they're made of, dust. And yet, high calling, to become one with him, to yield to him, to give up that which is sinful. He didn't soften it to sinners. The word was very strong. But we were welcomed in to constantly be renewed in that. The fact, again, that we can be corrected means he has an agenda that is heavenly, a plan that he will bring about as we yield and choose to adhere to him. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This too, this is a way in which we, I think, is a base for evangelism as much as it is for the body of Christ. You always go with love and receive it and talk with people, seeing the love that is there. If love is still operating, there is still an open door to this whole message. Because we are made to love. That is a chief part of the nature of God. John goes on to say God is love. It is so consuming, the part of his nature. That is how he is described. So as we not only love one another, and we are to honor other people, but especially be fervent in love to the household of faith, this shows his glory. The way that you love one another is extremely important. With that, do not lose touch over the times we're apart. Make plans with your friends that you've done to get together at least once a month. Over this break. John, which I have been quoting from today, is a great book to do while we are apart. I have said this many times, but a good way to study is to underline the commands and circle the promises. If you will do that with John, just go and say, okay, my homework is, where are the commands? Where are the promises? You'll be transformed. And so will I. When I practice this and do this, it's so a nature to me now. I do that as I read. It just pops. So this is part of, and imagine the Bibles you're leaving behind if you've marked them up that way. Okay, this is a great testimony to others to see. I've given away my old Bibles. Given to one child here, another child there, a teacher there. You know, because I want not to see what I underlined or did. One time I was on an airplane, this is hilarious, and I had fallen in love with the Gospel of John. I'd had it that summer with Mr. Hal Lindsay, was my teacher, and he was great. And I had just a hardback New Testament and a highlighter. These were new then. This was 1967. And I was on the airplane, and there was a man next to me, and I'm just underlining it, highlighting. And he said, what are you doing over there? What are you reading? I said, oh, it's the New Testament. This is John, and okay. He got this look. He said, "You just mark it out what you don't like." I said, "No," which is almost worse. I'm marking what I do like, which meant, of course, I shouldn't be marking the whole thing. But it was funny. But there's this place of you kind of looking and seeing those things. Highlighting's good. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. So our very bodies are the temples now, the sanctuary. They're the place other people come for prayer. They come to you because God abides in you. And when you realize you're a Christ bearer to that way, now this takes humility because sometimes you can overdo it. But you know that you have just entered into, you've just brought Jesus Christ into the store or into the restaurant or into the grocery store. He will have his opportunity through you for other people around you when you really realize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. that you are a bearer. Literally, Christian means Christ bearer. Bearing him into the world in which we live. And Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. I don't know what he prayed. I don't have it written down, so I think I've already read it. Yeah, I did. That was the beginning of 17. I hate to end. It's such a treat to be here. I love every one of you. Yeah, hug each other when you stand. One announcement. We will be teaching. I will be teaching with Freshwater at Aqueduct in July, Lord willing. I think on Elisha. I'm excited about that. I look forward to it. In May, May 5th to 7th, is a conference at Christ Church in Southern Village on wholeness and healing put on by the Order of St. Luke, which is a prominent national ministry on healing. And they begin on Friday night, the 5th. And so if you go, you know, you don't want to, if you go to church here, go to the church you go to on Sunday, but for Friday night and Saturday, you're welcome to that conference to go and hear him, and they'll probably have prayer groups and ways to be prayed for, teaching how to pray for people. So it's a great opportunity. Y'all write that down. May 5th and 6th, Christ Church, Southern Village. It's open to the community. They're trying to announce it to all the believers. So I really want us to be aware of that. Many thanks to the song leaders, the steering committee, stand up, whoever's here. I think, let's see, Lynn's still here. Yes. And we have two new steering committee people, Heidi and Ann. Y'all stand up too. They just said yes, they'll serve with us. Yes. And we are so grateful. This is really a wonderful group of that has just, it's kind of like, I forget which book it is. I think it's Chronicles of Narnia, where they go, after you, after you. No, no, after you. This is that kind of group, that whoever's idea is, it's the best. And Linda Lang is our star, who is not with us today, who serves in so many ways. We're just so, so grateful. So may God bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you this day and forevermore. Amen. I was going to sing. Okay, all right. Yeah, this is what I was going to do is, if I could still play y'all, it's been so long. My fingers are sore when I tried this morning. But I wanted to sing, Lord, make me a sanctuary. Y'all remember that? So y'all stand up and let's kind of do this together. I'm going to do it in C. This is not a solo. This is just, okay.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Put your arms around each other now. Hold hands.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be you